relatives of the Reinfords in one church service that maybe halfway through the message that we should have a song so that y'all aren't sleeping. Well, you can turn with me to Colossians 3. This is where the title of the sermon comes from. I do not have a text this morning. I suppose that this could be a text. We're just going to read a few verses here. I like when there is a text. I like when we spend a lot of time in one passage. That is not the way the message come to me this morning. So I just want to read the first three or the first four verses of Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The message title this morning is Seek Those Things Above. Seek those things above. You know, we're all on a journey this morning, like Caleb was. I was inspired in the lesson with his upward focus. Each one of us Christians are on a journey this morning, and that journey starts at the foot of the cross, and it ends in glory someday. So the burden of the message this morning is that we have, to those of us that are Christians, the cross is behind us and heaven is before us, and we're to seek those things above. If we want to get to our final destination of heaven, we have to have a focus, we have to have our vision on things above. For the message this morning, I'm going to use an analogy. In Matthew 13, Jesus spoke in parables, and he would use the phrase, he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, it was like unto a mustard seed, it was like unto leaven, and so on. I think there was four or five parables there. Like unto means it has some similarities. It has a lesson that we can learn from. And that's what I would like to use this morning, a like unto illustration. The thing that I would like to illustrate this morning is that of an airplane. We'd like to think of the airplane as being the Christian. In the last couple weeks, there was a instruction class that I was a part of, and it brought up briefly this thought of the Christian being as an airplane. And it was inspiring to me, and I would like to I'd like to follow that thought for a bit this morning. When the Bible talks about sin, it often uses a downward imagery. Like as in Psalms 40, verse 2, he brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which implies a standard or a height that humanity has failed to reach. I think you understand. When we talk of the old nature, our old nature, we know enough from experience that it fed on the lower, baser things of the world. But when the Bible talks about life in Christ, it uses a different imagery of things higher. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. Seek those things above, the things that are higher. I talked about that our final destination as Christians, is heaven. That is our goal. That's where we want to be someday. And if our final destination is in heaven, we have to have an upward focus. We have to have our eyes where we want to go. Ephesians 2, verse 6, talking about the upward imagery in the Bible. Here is just a few verses. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The verse that we read in opening, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And also in Philippians 3, verse 14, Paul talks about pressing towards the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there are many more verses that we could go to. I think you get the idea of the upward imagery that is often associated with life in Christ. It is an upward calling. So in this analogy, when we left our burden of sin at the foot of the cross, that is when we changed the weight and the burden of sin for our wings, so to speak, in this analogy. The purpose of the message is, how can I make the flight successful from the cross to glory in this journey of life? How can we be successful? On December 18, 10 days ago, Greg Biffle, his wife and two children, died in a small plane crash near Statesville, North Carolina. You probably read about it in the news. The Cessna jet crashed shortly after takeoff, reportedly attempting to return to the airport due to an issue, hitting a light pole and trees before going down in a fiery crash, killing all seven people aboard. Their final destination was to be the Bahamas, where they had plans of a birthday celebration. Well, every Christian here today, I've said, is on a journey, is on a flight of life, we could call it. And no one wants to end up like the Biffle family, where it ends in a fiery crash. We too are on a journey. Our final destination, I said, is heaven. And we too have plans of a celebration in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we want to be a part of that. So how can we navigate this journey, this flight of life, successfully? Here are a few basic thoughts in opening. I know that there's different times that I have read, come across analogies where it places God as the pilot, and I suppose that depends how you make the analogy, that's okay. In this analogy, I'd like to suggest that you are the pilot. I did not say that you alone are flying your aircraft. But the decisions, one thing I want to get across is the decisions that you make are directly responsible for your success or failure. So the decisions that we make on a daily basis determine whether or not that we can make this flight of life successfully. As a pilot, I'm not a good one to speak of this because I'm not a pilot. I really have no dreams of being a pilot in life. But as a pilot, there are some things that you must operate within. It's called the unwavering laws of physics. That's something that I would like to get straight right from the beginning. That we operate within those same, in the Christian life, there is some unwavering laws of God that we have to deal with. In flight, these laws of physics are not something that are up for discussion or debate. They are absolute. If you want to stay in the air, you have to stay within the confines of the unwavering laws of physics. Exceed the critical angle and you will stall. Run out of fuel and you're coming down. You can't just decide. So an airplane is crafted in a specific way that it can remain in flight or that it can get flight at all. And you can't just decide that you're tired of the old wing pattern, you're going to come up with something new. It has to be within the confines of the laws of physics. And the Christian life is much the same way. The Christian must understand the unwavering laws of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. These are some things that we cannot change. They are laws of God. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? These are the absolutes in the Christian life. And there are many more, and it would make a good study, a personal study, to study those absolutes of God. Well, there are four fundamental, these are part of the absolutes, I guess you would say, in flight. There are four fundamental forces of flight. I'd like to take them and compare them to the Christian. I have here, I don't know if you all can see it, but here I have the four fundamental forces of flight. We have lift and weight, thrust and drag. These are the four fundamental forces of flight. These are in conflict, direct conflict to each other. Lift is directly in conflict to the weight and the thrust to the drag. I think that's understandable as they are in the Christian life. First of all, I want to talk about the thrust and the lift. They are the positive ones, and then we want to talk about the weight or gravity and the drag, and compare them to the Christian life. Thrust is defined this way: it's forward force from the engines pushing the plane through the air. I think that's fairly understandable. It doesn't. You know, there's a much deeper way to go into this. I want to keep it simple so that everyone can understand it. I'm sure that you've often probably sat on a plane. If your budget is like mine, you're often in the back where you can feel the thrust more. And you sit at the end of the runway and there's that brief pause and then the pilot puts the full throttle and you take off with force. And that is the thrust from the engines. It's an incredible feeling, especially when you're at the back. I'm suggesting that this thrust for the Christian is the incredible power and energy that we receive at the new birth. It is this power and energy is from God. But I'm suggesting that it is a combination of man coming together. So God doesn't arbitrarily just put his power on anyone. He does it to those that reach out in faith for his provision. So this is a combination of man and God coming together. Man reaching in faith to God for his provision. And God eagerly reaching toward man to supply his provision. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. this, a couple verses that describe when man comes to God, what happens when man and God come together. James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." In Philippians 3, verse 12, maybe you can turn there with me. I like this passage. Philippians 3, verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend." I want you to notice this last phrase here. "If I may apprehend or take hold of that for which I am also apprehended." It's the same word both times, that we can take hold of Christ, and he in turn takes hold of us. And for the Apostle Paul, that was very real. You know, in thinking of being apprehended, he was apprehended on the road to Damascus. He was, could you say arrested? We use the term apprehended when the police arrest someone, they apprehend him. It says that I may apprehend, that I may reach a hold of God, get a hold of him, and he in turn gets a hold of us. I love that thought. He takes us into his possession so that we may obtain the glorious prize, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And thinking of the power that we receive at the new birth, this incredible thrust of energy that lifts us up above the things of life. Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Don't get me wrong, you can't live the Christian life in your own power, but God will not fill you without you reaching for it. The next fundamental of flight is the lift. The lift, defined, is an upward force generated by the wings as air moves over them, overcoming weight. So when there is the forward momentum, the wings are able to lift the aircraft off. This lift comes from God alone. We cannot lift ourselves up above the above sin and the lower, baser things that we read about out of the horrible pit. When we find ourselves in a horrible pit, we can't lift ourselves out by our own bootstraps. We can't do it by our own trying to do better. It doesn't work. This lift is from God alone. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. "And God hath raised up the Lord, and God hath raised, both raised up the Lord, and will raise up us by his own power." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is just verses that show that this comes from God and from God alone. Titus says, "Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost." I think we understand that. "There is no salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, I don't think that this is now in... I said that the lift is from God alone. But is it not like the fuel in an airplane? the fuel that creates the power that creates the lift. And if I want to make it to glory, I'm going to need constant power. I'm on an upward climb. And there is a part that I have to do, even though that is salvation by grace alone, there is a part that I have to do. And that is found, you can turn with me to John 15. What part do I play in this? John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So you see that God is the source of all power. But I have to stay connected to him. That's my responsibility. Abide in me. That is another good study. How to abide in Christ. If you want to soar the clouds of the Christian experience, you have to abide in Christ. He is the source of power. Abide means to stay, remain, dwell or continue in a constant living relationship. It's not a temporary visit. It implies active, continual relationship. Well, I think you get the point. We need to be connected to the source of power. Now we're going to look at the weight and the drag. These things, I said, are in direct contrast to each other. I probably don't need to tell you what weight or gravity stands for in the Christian experience. In a flight, the pull of gravity is always present. And then when the power is cut, gravity takes over. And you know, maybe I should say, in every analogy, human analogies, there is imperfect things. And this is maybe one where in the rules of aircraft, when these are in perfect harmony, when the airplane is in the air and these are in perfect harmony, there is not more thrust than drag, there is not more lift than weight. A plane goes straight forward. So that is maybe where the analogy falls short. That God is never in harmony with sin. We can't find that perfect harmony in our life where we can keep this all balanced. That doesn't work. But I'm suggesting to you that doesn't work anyway, because in the Christian life we are on a path of ascent. And trying to do this by perfect harmony isn't going to get you to where you're going anyway. Because if our final destination is heaven, we're going to be on a path of ascent. But I have to throw that caveat in there that this analogy is weak. Sin must be in subjection. Only when sin is in subjection can we ascend. Only then allows us on the upward climb. A couple verses in Romans, likewise, reckon ye also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You know, as long as we live on this side of eternity, we're going to deal with the sin problem. But praise the Lord, there is victory in Jesus Christ. Well, the fourth thing is the drag. And I don't know if you were, if this was your analogy, what you would place on that. But drag is the resistance, this is the definition, it's the resistance from air friction which thrust must overcome. So, an airplane is an object that's moving through the air, and the air is holding it back. And that's why things, the aircraft needs to be crafted in a sleek way that there is the least drag as possible. I want to say that this is not, I'm suggesting that this is not sin. This is not gravity, so to speak. But I'm suggesting that it's life and the things that we live in this world. And Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So we live in this world, and there is, it means families and relationships and responsibilities and business and church and providing for ourselves, the pressures of life. These are all good and right. I said that Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, don't take them out of the world. So we live in the world and we have to deal with these things. The Bible says we have to provide for our own. But we have to be careful because Jesus also said in Luke 18, he said, when talking about the seeds that were sown, and they which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So we have to be careful that this drag doesn't drag us down. And I think probably the older that you get, the more that you understand that this is a real thing that you have to deal with, where you not allow even the good things. There's good church work, even, that can drag you down and cause ruin for yourself and your family if you're going to get it above God. I had recently was listening to a message where the preacher said that he knew of someone that was called away and consented to go to meetings somewhere. And when it come to the time that he had to leave, he called and said, I'm sorry, I can't come. I have a son that's struggling, and it wouldn't be right for me to leave. And the way the story ended was that the son ended up giving his heart to the Lord in the time that his dad would have been gone. So I think that there is even good and right things that can be a drag. And it is only by the wisdom of God that we can know what are the things that are important, what are not. Hebrews 12 says this, and if you've ever noticed this, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So it makes a distinction between the two. Laying aside the weight. Jesus says, if a man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. We cannot let anything, and we hold our businesses pretty high. We don't want to let people down. And that's good within its proper bounds, not to let the things of life drag us down. Well, the thing that I find heartening in that, in Psalms it says this of God, Psalms 103:14 says, for he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. You know, God knows us, and he knows how much we can handle. And if we talk to him about it, he'll give us the wisdom to know what to not get in over our head where it drags us down in our relationship to him. Well, some closing points. What are some dangers to look out for on this flight of life? You know, one of the things that they always talk about when you're on a flight is turbulence. How to deal with turbulence? This is what advice is given to the pilots when encountering turbulence. A pilot primarily focuses on maintaining aircraft control, securing the cabin, and communicating with aircraft control to find smoother air. Is that what we do? When we come upon turbulence in life, do we try to ride it out alone, or do we communicate with God? Jesus says this: in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. God is not promising a life free of trouble, but he is promising to be an ever-present help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, should we sing a song or should we just keep going? Almost done. The next danger that we face in flight, and I'm sure that most of you have been on a plane where before they leave, they de-ice the plane. So ice creates a major problem in the way the air flows over the wings. It can create a major problem and actually cause a plane to crash. It seems like such a small thing. And it says this in aircraft rules, there's no safe amount of ice. Even a small amount of rough ice can significantly degrade performance and cause rapid accumulation of severe icing. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? There's no safe amount of sin that we can allow in this flight of life. You know, when they... As I said, what they do for ice is they use the de-icing solution. What do we do with sin? What do we do with before it turns into, how do we take care of it? Jesus said in John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Dealing with sin is a daily task. Hide God's word in your heart. Abide in him. Confess your faults one to another. Walk in the Spirit, and so on. Well, the final point is navigation. There was a plane, Flight 965, a Miami to Cali, Colombia flight in 1995 that went down. There was 151 people on board. Or 163 people, 151 died. And it was due to a chain of pilot errors, navigational confusion, and complacency, where the crew under pressure and unfamiliar with the route inadvertently selected a wrong waypoint. And they got lost in the mountains, and it was a clear day. There was no reason in the world for this to happen. But they, in their navigational system, they selected a wrong waypoint, and there was a whole list of things that happened that they should have caught on, but they didn't. Well, the challenge is to us, are we following the flight plan? We have it right here with us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalms 25, verses 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Well, how are we doing in the flight of life? Are you in a steady climb by the power of God? Are you, by the grace of God, overcoming gravity? That is the challenge before us this morning. Two verses I want to leave with you in closing. In Jude 24, and I have read these many times, they are my favorite verses. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, if we're on this flight of life, to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, he's able to get us to our final destination of heaven. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We'll call for a song.